This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Ada benda tak elok dah masuk dalam kawasan ni.
Kau ada nampak budak perempuan? Tinggi dia.
Siapa kau sebenarnya? Kau buat apa lagi kat sini?
Mana kau dapat pisau tu?
Kan aku dah cakap tak ada siapa.
Jangan tipu aku!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. It is Halloween week, so we are going to be heading fully into the realms of horror, all things scary. And we're starting off our week with a Stuff We Missed, which we haven't done in a while because it's been a pretty busy release season. But this is something that we've wanted to talk about for quite some time. And since it is neither a fresh review nor old enough to qualify as a throwback, that's what we're categorizing it as. And we're talking about 2019's Raw.
Now, if you're anything like me and you're really averse to watching horror movies at home, Raw might be a little bit of a hard sell because it does look a lot like it's horror. You know, the poster is scary, the title is scary, and it is a very creepy film, but it's also not as horror as I expected it to be. And that was kind of a nice surprise. I very much enjoyed watching this and I'm glad that I got around to it finally.
Oh, I think I fall on the flip side of that slightly. So I love horror. Like if it's not the scarier, the better. But if I know that something's frightening, I'll go check it out. If it's like surreal horror, then the better. Prestige horror also is fun. I've said before that I actively avoid regional and local horror, specifically because I recognize the places and the faces and the language is more homely and it's closer to the things you know, right? So that's the only reason why I didn't check out Raw, because it looks so familiar, even though it is a period piece. So for me, this was very, very creepy. I would also say borderline scary, even though I don't think that's what it's going for, but it had such a cool vibe. And I say cool in like a horror movie sense, but yeah, it was, if I had to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say like it's on an 8 or 9 of creepiness and just weird, weird atmosphere.
So Raw for me is my favorite type of horror. I fall into two camps. I like two types. On the one hand, I like hyper camp horror, you know, sort of like your real B-grade stuff. And on the other side of that, I like atmospheric horror. I like the ones that don't necessarily tell you right at the start, here comes a vampire, I'm going to signal that all the way. I like the ones where you're not sure whether it's in your head or whether it's something that's actually happening to you. And so I really enjoyed what Raw does. I know this is the part where we usually talk about the story, but the story in this case is actually very simple. A mother and her two children live in a very remote, isolated part of the woods. And one day, a child stumbles into their lives and that child appears to be possessed. And from then on, they appear to be living under a sort of curse, right? And they're unable to figure out what it is that they can do, who it is that they can trust. And that's more or less it. It's a very lean running time. It's only an hour 23. And I think that that's the perfect amount of time to explore the story with the required amount of atmosphere.
The entire cast is only 6 people. And, you know, you get a fair amount of time with each character. I think what I really liked about the film is that, yes, it you know, it is a very local kind of horror. I completely agree. But you called it period, Arvin, and I'm not quite sure whether it is, because I kept wondering as I was watching the movie, when is this set? Where is this set? I mean, it's set in Malaysia. It's very familiar, but it's also in a weird way, in like a sort of time vacuum. It could be anywhere. It could be any place. It's familiar in a weird way. And I think that's part of the appeal of the story for me. It's everything about it is engineered to be very recognizable to people who live here and grew up here with stories from here. And conversely, though, the film has also done really well abroad. It's been doing the festival circuit. It was one of the most successful cinema releases in 2019 here. And I quite like that for a movie like this, because we keep talking about, you know, Thai horror or Korean horror and what those things might mean. I think this is the closest I've watched something come to maybe nailing what Malaysian horror could look like.
So I mentioned the period, I think, because I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but in passing, they mention a war or a recent war. So I was like, okay, so maybe it's taking place in those kinds of times. It's not exactly a modern piece, but we don't know. Like you said, it could be a time vacuum. I'm going to steal this from a comment that I read about this movie. Someone said that horror is something you feel. And true horror is, it doesn't have to show you like ugly faces or anything that's gross or grotesque. And it doesn't have to do a lot with makeup and prosthetics and weird looking ghosts and ghouls and stuff. It's just about how you feel and how you feel after you've seen the movie. And I think Ro nails that feeling perfectly, because from the time it opens, from like literally the opening second, the opening scene, there's this very heavy feeling of dread and slight confusion, and you are left like slightly disoriented because you don't know who is where or who's doing what or what's happening, or even if this is like linear storytelling or if everything is in sequence, right? So those kinds of things I really, really like, because it always keeps you on the edge. Like you have to focus and you have to pay attention, even though there's not much to pay attention to. There's not a lot of dialogue, not too many details, but the movie just never lets you go. Like it has such a good visual and just a tonal grip on the person watching.
So, you know what struck me while watching it, aside from the stuff that we've been talking about, is also the isolation of the family. And I think that that's why when we talk about them or the story or the setting feeling somewhat familiar but also somewhat alien, a lot of it rests in the fact that these three people, so Mak, Along and Anga, you know, they sort of just live together in a shack, in a hut. And when things start to go wrong, they have no one to go to. The closest person lives like still a half a day's walk away, you know? And I think that it is that sense of isolation and to a degree alienation that really makes the dread feel so heavy, because you watch it and you think, oh, you guys are trapped in more ways than one. You know, when things start to go wrong, I think a regular horror movie structure would have people trying to run away from it, right? Calling the cops or calling in a witch doctor or whatever, you know, the equivalent of calling the fuzz. And in this case, that doesn't really happen. And that's partly because there is no fuzz to call, because they are so isolated. And I think that isolation is also why we don't know where or when they are even.
I'm going to pull an Arvid and also steal something I recently read, not so much about this film in particular, but I remember reading how there was this article that talked about how when storytelling in Asian settings, they don't necessarily follow the structures of Western film or Western cinema, Western books, in the sense that there's often not a hero, there's often not a climax. Things just sort of meander along and then reach some kind of an ending where not much is resolved. And I think Ro is actually a great example of that. The story just kind of moves along. There's no real sort of, I'm going to take control of the situation and beat down the monster. None of those things happen. And even at the end, you're left unsettled. And I think that's actually the thing that is perhaps the scariest about the film, in that it feels like it's something that's just been drawn out of experiences people might have had. And there's nothing much that can be done about it, which is kind of scary.
I also want to say, though, that the movie is not as simple and straightforward as it comes off or as it looks initially, right? Like on the surface, it's a very simple point A to point Z story, you know, and it's kind of like, it doesn't try to come off as complex, but it does draw its stories and its inspiration from a lot of, there are a lot of like religious connotations, there's stuff from mythology, from folklore. So it's very rich in that context. In that way, it reminded me of stuff like The Witch, The Lighthouse does the same thing. And also the Korean film, The Wailing.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of, The Wailing. There's a chicken, guys. Once there's a chicken involved.
It has all that, the vibe is so similar. I love films like that. I love films that take its time with the horror and take like the unorthodox way of frightening you without using the usual tropes. And Ro does that. It just does that perfectly.
So this is a Stuff We Missed review, something that came out. Well, it was released in 2019, but it was actually, it got a theatrical release in Malaysia in 2020, in August, I believe. So we're talking today about Ro, and kicking off our Halloween lineup for this week. We'd like to hear from you. Did you watch Ro? Did you enjoy it? Do you like horror? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Jangan percaya pada semua yang kau nampak atau dengar dalam hutan.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are doing a Stuff We Missed review and focusing on Ro, which is, I think, one of the great local horror films in recent years. And I wanted to talk about the performances because we've spent a lot of time talking about the atmosphere. And a lot of that is set up in the performance. And I think it's especially important to do so because, like you said earlier, Arvin, there's not a lot of dialogue, you know, they don't spend a lot of time talking to one another and trying to figure out, you know, what is happening. It's more like the dialogue is very functional, which I think makes the performances being as powerful as they are even more meaningful.
I was particularly impressed by the kids. There are three children in the film. All three of them do such a good job. So it's Mia, Farhana, Putri Kase, and Harith Hazik. You know, we've talked about the film being sort of underplayed in some sense. And the kids are exactly that. They don't go over the top. They feel very natural. And in a weird way, they are like half adult, half kid. And there's something quite touching and creepy about that those performances that I really enjoyed.
It's also, I think it helped that a lot of them are not recognizable. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I'm sure they've done like other things and stuff. It's just that for me personally, I didn't recognize a lot of the faces, and they could have easily cast someone who was a big star just to sell the movie. But I like that they didn't, because then they seem like they blend into the settings like naturally. You don't know who's the main character, who's not, who's going to play like an important role, who's gonna do something, or is there going to be a twist or whatever. And that had to be like a risky choice, right? I mean, the whole movie seems like a big risky choice because it's not a commercial mainstream horror movie. But they still went and did it. And they also cast people who I guess could pull off that kind of sense of isolation and confusion and dread without having to say a lot.
They are people that, again, even though you don't find out a whole lot about them, about why it is, for example, that dad isn't around, you know, even though you don't necessarily get those kinds of insights, they are people that it makes sense for you to spend time with. I can't say that you enjoy spending time with them because, honestly, there's quite a lot of violence that occurs and quite a lot of general strangeness. So saying, you know, that it was a great time is a bit much, but spending time with them and being immersed in their story made sense. And I think so much of that, again, comes from the performances, which were powerful, but also very subtle. I don't think, even when the movie hits its crescendo, I don't think it goes over the top. I think it pitches it roughly where it needed to go.
Yeah, I mean, even like if you take Namron's character, who's this sort of mysterious man who wanders the jungle, easily. I'm trying not to give it away, guys. but easily could have been a cliche or easily could have been over the top. But again, it has that sort of very natural quality to everything that, you know, when he appears, you're kind of like, okay, I get what this is supposed to be, but I'm also not having it hit it's also not hitting me over the head, and that's nice.
Also, without saying too much, like, they keep flip-flopping with his character, which is also equally distressing, because you're like, which one is it? And that adds to the confusion, and that's not a bad thing. I'm pretty sure it's done on purpose, and it was completely deliberate, and they do it with every character in the movie. Can we talk about the cinematography?
Yes, thank you. Because
beautiful stuff.
Yes.
Like, the two things, cinematography and music, just went hand in hand, and just I think like 80% of the movie are those two things just creating the Roh vibe, the signature Roh vibe.
I loved how the film looked. I mean, it is just jungles that we're familiar with, right? We've all been to these places here, but
oh my
somehow,
god, don't say that.
I know, yeah. I as I was saying it, I was like, why did you go there? No, but the way the camera just kind of captures the shadows and the light and plays with it and just makes everything look so alien, it's such a good job.
And plays with color. So I was thinking about the juxtaposition of how half the film is kind of very brown, you know, the forest looks like it's in a dried out state. You recognize it and yet you don't. And then there's this one moment where a child is trying to do something with an animal, and it's sort of a very lush lake or river scene, pond scene. And it's just, I loved the way that different moments are juxtaposed, because otherwise you're just in the house. You're in the house, you're in the clearing, you're in the house, you're in the clearing. And the fact that there are very few locations makes you feel even more trapped. But the way that it's shot and the way that it's scored is so beautiful that you're like, ah, okay, fine, I'll sit with the discomfort. Just to say that the cinematography was done by Saifuddin Musa and the music by Rainchez Ng. So while we're talking about it, credit where it's due.
Actually, since we're talking about spaces, I really liked the house. You wouldn't think that it would be so interesting. It is really just a small house in the middle of the jungle, but something about the way it looks, it's like you can feel the wood, you can you know, feel all the things that happen in there. I think it's just so atmospheric, and that's one of the strengths of this film.
I've always hated houses on stilts because I'm like, I've always...
Why would you go under there in the dark? Why?
I don't know. So that's the whole thing. I'm like, there's bound to be something underneath the house that has stilts. And that's all I'm going to say. But you're saying something about the color. You said that how the color doesn't play into the horror of the film, right? I also wanted to say that it has to be hard shooting in the jungle, right? Because normally I've seen like so many movies where they tell you it's a jungle, but then you know it's a park. Or you know it's a park that just doesn't have a lot of buildings around it. But this looks like an actual forest. Like, it looks like it is in the middle of like forest nowhere, where people, if you didn't know your way around, you could go missing, you could get lost, and you could lose your way. So I think that was a huge choice that added to it, because if you could see the end of the forest, it would have ruined the whole vibe. So again, kudos for doing that.
I'm just declaring straight up, nobody hire me ever for any of these shoots. I'm not taking it.
I'm not going on a hike anytime soon. I'm just saying.
Well, I think the other thing is, and I want to go back to the house briefly. Why would you look through the floorboards? Like, just leave
yes.
it.
Why?
Yeah, just leave it. It's fine. You know something is there. Just don't look at it. It's okay. I mean, I'm sure at this point, we all understand after the events of the morning. Just to be careful. I wanted to close off-ish by asking you both about the level of violence, because we've talked a lot about the atmosphere and about how this is a story where more things are suggested, I think, than they are necessarily told or screamed at you. But yeah, how do we feel about the level of violence that was in the film?
It didn't bother me as it was happening as much as it did when I started thinking about it. And that's, again, because you don't actually see a whole lot. You know, it's not all suggested. It happens off screen, which was a clever way to go about it, I think, because for a film like this, I don't think I want to see it.
For me, I don't think, like, violence in horror movies, I think they go hand in hand. So I didn't mind, but a lot of stuff happens to with kids around. And I think that disturbed me quite a bit. So those things kind of get to you when it comes to the violence. So yeah, just a whole other level of disturbing. Adults, violence, who cares, right? But, you know, if there are kids involved, then it gets very, very, very distressing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the fact that you see kids essentially going right up to the edge and then swan diving off it, right? Into a whole sea of blood and violence was quite intense to watch. And
with the sound effects. The sound effects were bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Bad as in they felt real.
Like really good bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we come back to how it's a very simple film. You know, it's got very few locations. The story is quite straightforward and it's only got 6 cast members in total. And the fact that out of that 6, you have 3 children. And I think we've been trying to talk around it, but I think that gives you some sense of how tough it can be to watch when the violence does occur. So yes, we'll just leave it at that. We've been talking today about Ro, which was first released at a festival in 2019, released theatrically though in August 2020. We're talking about it because we didn't get to it at the time and we all really enjoyed it and wanted to talk about it in conjunction with Halloween. So let us know, have you seen Ro? Generally speaking, do you enjoy horror? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.